And we are going to move on. We're going to go to item number 13, the prairie elk hunting season. And with that, we'll have Andrew Norton come, or perhaps will it be you, Mr. Canta, both of you? Okay. Very good.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Commissioner, Secretary Roebling, John Canta, Terrestrial Section Chief. I just came up to kind of kick things off here for Andrew and wanted to talk a little bit, just hearing some of the comment today that you all received at our open mic. I just want to talk a little bit about our input process as we move forward with this proposal. In particular, of course, we put this out for public comment. It's out online and of course media releases and such to gather that input. But we did make a concerted effort to meet with the tribes, and particularly those tribes west of the Missouri River where this will impact them. Our regional supervisors, Mike Klazowski out of Region 1 and Mark Ullman, Region 2, made an effort to meet with each and every one of these tribes, and really an effort just to inform them of what we're talking about and the proposal that we have in front of us, and then also to gather some input from those folks. I also wanted to mention that in regards to the tribes, not with all of them, but with most of them, we do have annual meetings or meetings every so often. A good example is with Pine Ridge and Rosebud. We have an annual meeting to talk about not just elk management, but wildlife management in general and kind of what's going on our side of things. And then, of course, understand what sort of objectives and issues that they're running into on their side of things. So we'll continue to hold those meetings as we have in the past, and hearing some of these folks today, you know, we'll offer those opportunities to have additional meetings to take some input, have some more discussion with them. And we certainly understand the importance of elk management for the tribes and what that means to them, and looking forward to some of that additional input. I also wanted to mention that on the other side of things, if I can say it that way, we are meeting with landowners as well. We have for some time now, some of that due to landowners having issues with elk damaging stored feeds or whatever other damage that they're experiencing. Also some specific landowner meetings just to talk about elk management in particular areas, and in particular those areas that currently aren't open to the WRA season or that WRA unit. Just an effort there to try to understand what they're having for issues, certainly to offer some assistance to them with our current programs and our wildlife damage program and things of that nature, but then also to inform them of the proposal on the table here and what we're talking about. And then lastly, we are having some additional staff input and staff discussions on the proposal as we move it along here, and all of that's been incorporated in what Andrew will talk about today. And so this, like all the others that we've covered today, is a second round proposal, if I can call it that, so we won't take action today or won't ask the commission to take action. But just wanted to talk a bit about some of that input that we've been taking before Andrew goes over this for us here. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Good afternoon again, Madam Chair, Commissioner, Secretary Roebling. Andrew Norton, Wildlife Program Administrator, here to discuss Agenda Item 13. You've heard a lot of public testimony about this. Mr. Canta here just spoke a little background to the meetings that we've had in regards to this issue. I will point out we will ask you to take action. We do have a couple recommended slight changes. They don't relate at all to the testimony today, but we do have modifications to this. So I think what I'd like to do is, I think Nick was able to pull it up. So we've got a presentation. I'll probably do a hybrid approach here and quick run through what I mean by those two changes. And then I do show the map of the area in the presentation, so might be able to touch on it again. But the two slight modifications with the current proposal before you is to expand this Prairie WRA unit, which you've heard a lot of testimony about, and I'll try to hit some high points on that. But the two smaller changes from last month were to provide landowner-owned land hunting licenses in Prairie Unit 27A Fall River County, in addition to expanding the season dates to include all dates from September to the end of December. Staff realized after that proposal went through that in Prairie Unit 9A up by Lawrence County, it's another smaller unit, They wanted to make the same change after speaking with landowners there, so extend that season to go from September 1 to the end of the year and make landowner-owned land licenses available. So those two changes will be what I would ask the commission if they agree with the department's recommendation to take action on after hopefully I get through this presentation, and I'll probably touch on a little bit about the license changes, and I think that'll hopefully provide some context to the magnitude of the change that would be a result of this, where it's, in my opinion, will be fairly insignificant. So just to start with the presentation, most are probably pretty familiar with the differences between the Black Hills and the prairie. So we call this the prairie elk season. It's very different. Now, there are some prairie units, when I get into the second slide here, that maybe resemble the Black Hills, but you can see these three images here. These are prairie elk. They're elk that could get into conflict with row crop agriculture, alfalfa fields, standing crops, stored feed. And then you see them in a group here in the middle that not great at estimating them, but let's say there's 100 elk there. We just completed our elk survey and we counted groups of over 1,000. So they can grow very quickly when they don't have many predators and they've got a lot of food, which are two conditions on the prairie that we see commonly. So again, just showing some more pictures to kind of put into context that elk can become a real problem on the prairie, and we've experienced it in a lot of these units, specifically Prairie Unit 11 there. You can see in the south central part of West River. There's been some issues there with depredation, and the department's done a lot of work there. I don't have a dollar figure that we've spent on working on elk depredation challenges in that unit, but they've been substantial. Some other units that are maybe different, more similar to the Black Hills, would be up in Harding County. Those are 35 units. I think that's 35 A and B. Those two units, we have a lot of public land, and we manage elk there for a lot of recreational opportunity. As you go out onto the rest of the prairie, you can see what we're showing on the map there. The dark areas are publicly accessible land, and I think that's very important to the testimony. We're not saying in the gray shaded area that that's something different. There's definitely reservation property there, and there's a lot of private property that nobody will ever have access to harvest an elk on. If the landowner decides they don't want an elk harvested there, that elk will never be shot on the prairie. So that was the original impetus to make this prairie West River area unit. It was a big unit. Think of it the exact same as a statewide deer license or a West River special buck license, where you can hunt in an area. And we're not saying elk will be killed in that area. We're just saying if the landowner chooses to allow someone to harvest elk there, elk can be harvested. And that's the whole intent of this. We do not want to micromanage elk in this bigger area. And so what we really should have done, I hope this is legible from where you're sitting, but in this big prairie area, is to put it a completely different color, even different than Prairie 27A, Prairie 35, Prairie 11, in that this we want to treat differently. We don't actually want it to turn into Prairie 9, 15, 49. Those tiny little units came about before West River area, and they were the result of trying to micromanage depredation, and staff quickly realized that's not the best approach to manage elk on the prairie where they have a propensity to cause a lot of damage. So just a little background on the harvest and license numbers. This is where I get into a little bit what the second action item will be, which is just an information item for this month. The action would be taken next month would be the increase in licenses in WRA. And this is where I say this is a negligible difference. We always talk about a crawl, walk, run approach. There was a lot of discussion to make this license number a lot higher. So you can see from 23 to 24 in Prairie West River Area Unit, we went from 30 licenses to 60. So we doubled them. We did see an increase in cow harvest. The recommendation for administrative action next month would be to go from 60 licenses to 110 licenses, so almost double those licenses, and it does actually effectively double the antlerless licenses. What that's going to result in is 80 antlerless licenses. So with that harvest, we don't have a solid estimate on the prairie, but I can assure you that that number of licenses in and of itself will not result in a decreasing population on the prairie. It's very much so still in the crawl stage of this approach. It's not like we're opening the floodgates and trying to harvest 1,000 elk on the prairie. I do also want to show that we did see an increase in harvest between 23 and 24, and that wasn't simply the result of an increase in licenses. We also, if you'll remember, landowner-owned land licenses were available, so we did see an increase there. So there's an opportunity for landowners to harvest elk on their property, but again, that's capped at one. If you have property and you have 250 elk on that property, you're not going to do anything to that population with only harvesting one animal. And then the last thing I want to share here is, in addition to providing landowners an opportunity in this West River area, we also want to get access. One of our main priorities is to get people a connection to the outdoors, mainly through recreation, specifically hunting in this case here. We've definitely ramped up efforts to increase our elk hunter access program. Over a quarter of the harvest in WRA occurs on these properties, so we as a department can actually work on areas where we are experiencing depredation and try to focus some of that harvest. You can see that's increased. Staff have done a lot of work going from about 60,000 acres to 100,000 acres in just 1 year, so nearly doubling the acres available. And we're hoping that expanding this area will provide even more public hunting opportunity. So with that, before I jump into questions, I'll just maybe leave this figure up here for a second if there's any questions about the map. But the proposal, again, was to modify Unit 9, which you can kind of see it's right on the Wyoming border, just north of the Black Hills. That would be the unit where landowner-owned land licenses would be available. And then increase the season dates so they run all the way from September 1st to the end of the year, basically match Prairie Unit 27A exactly. Nick or someone else, could I exit out of this and maybe we could go through and follow the action sheet before I jump into any questions? So this is the second reading. If you don't mind, I won't go through specific season dates or any more details with changes to the season, since hopefully I did a fair job describing how those changes would occur, and you can see how the changes occur in rule. But with that, I did allude to the fact that license numbers would increase in Prairie WRA. I can go to that action item next and take specific questions on that, but also there'd be a slight increase in Unit 9 and 27 as well, kind of coinciding with that desire to increase harvest in those particular units. Do realize there was a lot of public testimony, and there's definitely opinions on both sides, not an easy issue for the commission, so hopefully Mr. Canta and myself can help answer any questions or anyone else in the department. And with that, can take any questions, but would ask the commission if they support the proposal, the recommended changes, to take action on those.
Yeah. Before we take action on the two amendments, any questions, comments?
Commissioner Beast, are the landowner tags only, are they, can be used on non-tribal lands within the reservation boundary?
Madam Chair, Commissioner Beast, so yes, well, I'm struggling with that because so right now as it stands, we have some part of the none of the WRA is available in areas with tribal lands. Now, we do have Unit 11, Bennett County, that extends into Jackson County, which would be part of the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation or in that area. And so in those areas, they could use them on deeded lands within the reservation boundaries, but not on tribal land. Sorry for fumbling through that.
No, I understand what you're saying, but before we redid the map and added the reservations into the whole unit, did we have talks with the tribal members' councils to get permission to add that into the West River unit?
Through the chair. Commissioner Beast, so our discussions specific to the additions to the WRA unit started after we were approached by the landowners, I believe, at our December commission meeting. That's when we started to have some discussion about expanding WRA and did make an effort to go out and start that process. Now, that That started then and moved into the new year after we made the proposal, so some of those meetings happened after the proposal, certainly. But once those landowners approached the commission, that's what started us thinking about this and kicked off that input process.
I see. I guess my opinion, I'm going to just throw it out there. I think we should eliminate the reservation boundaries out of the unit myself, and then give the non-tribal members access to their own private land tags within that, on their private land within the reservation boundary, and let the reservations, the conservation officers and their people regulate their tags within their boundaries for the elk. That's just my opinion.
Through the chair, yes. Commissioner Beast, maybe one comment. I'd have to think about that a little bit. Right now, with the authority that was given to the commission from the legislature, I believe we have to have an open season, open units. So in order to just issue licenses specific to land that's not in a prairie elk unit, I don't know if we'd be able to do that the way it stands, but I'd have to think about that a little bit.
Director Kirschman?
Madam Chair, I'll just insert here as well, Tom Kirschman, Director of Wildlife Division. So what Mr. Kanta just described is correct. So to issue the land or own land licenses, we have to have a unit in place, or they are only valid within units that are established and then made permissible through the commission action. So in the case of the private land, the deeded land within a reservation, it would have to be a unit or part of another unit for those LOLs, land or own lands, to be utilized on those private deeded properties. Now again, though, going back to your question, in that example or that situation then, those land or own land tags would only be valid on the deeded property. They would not be valid on tribal property or tribal land. So they would only be allowable or valid. Valid's maybe the better term to use on that private deeded property. But to be able to issue them based on how it's established in state statute, you would have to have an established hunting unit. And then they can be used within those units as granted by the commission.
Is there a way, if we did that, put them, the reservation boundaries within the unit, but not allow an open drawing for everybody in the state and just have those licenses available to the landowners that are having problems on their deeded land and not on tribal land? Because I can see a big problem coming down the road with somebody just grabbing one of the milk tags going on the res. They're going to get their butts in trouble. It's going to happen. And how do we prevent that, or help prevent that? And if the non-tribal landowners are having a problem with elk, why don't we get them their tags to help take care of their elk problem and let the reservation manage the rest of the elk within their boundaries and not us? Because I can see some problems coming down the road if we do this, if we put open tags out on the reservations. People are going to get where they're not supposed to be, and it won't be good.
Madam Chair.
Yes, please.
The only other follow-up, Commissioner Beast, that I would offer to you is that certainly understand, because even some of the maps we looked at, we do see landlocked parcels of private ground, right, that deeded ground. That same scenario exists today, though, for deer hunting, for example. Individuals that do obtain a license must be responsible hunters. They must know where they can and cannot go. And the same scenario or situation would exist today for a deer license that's issued by the state that would be valid within the tribal reservation, but again, is only valid on those deeded lands. And so that example exists today for deer hunting. The same example would exist with opening it up and having those licenses for elk to occur within those geographic areas also. Again, the landowner land would only be valid on their land or land that they lease, but it would again have to be private property or deeded property.
Additional comments, questions from the commission. Additional comments from the commission at this time? I think what I'd like to do, let's move forward and put these two amendments on. So if the commission agrees to those amendments, and we can continue conversation with the adjusted language. So if you look at the proposed changes from last year, as Andrew and Mr. Cantum mentioned, number four and number five. Andrew, can you just again explain number four, and we can make a motion and take action on that one?
Yes, Madam Chair. So the proposed amendment would be in Prairie Unit 9A. The original season dates were from September 15th to October 31st and December 1st to December 31st. So instead, that season would be proposed to run from September 1 to December 31, so expanding opportunity, in addition to making landowner-owned land prairie licenses available in Unit 9A.
All right, very good. So with that, we do need a motion to amend with this language, and a second.
Move to amend
by Commissioner Locken.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner White. All those in favor of this amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Aye.
Thank you, Commissioner Cole. So that one is amended. We'll now move to the next one. If you could, again, just explain so we know what we're voting on.
Yep, and Madam Chair, this one would not require a vote today. It would simply be just essentially a public notice here on something that we would ask the commission to take action on next month. It's just a license number change. And I reviewed the change you just voted on in Unit 9A. So in addition to expanding that landowner opportunity and the season dates, the licenses, which are currently last year, were at 8 Type 21, which is an any elk license, and 10 Type 23, which is an any antlerless license, would increase those any antlerless licenses from 10 to 30. So it would be 8 any elk tags and 30 antlerless only tags. Similar change in 27A, there was 30 any elk, 30 antlerless, and going from 30 any elk, keeping that the exact same, and going from 30 to 40 for the antlerless. So some slight changes there. And then that last license number increase, this is to the point where I was making that this isn't necessarily opening the floodgates. It's going from 20 any elk to 30 any elk and 40 antlerless to 80. An expected harvest on that based on success would be maybe 50 to 75 antlerless elk harvested, and certainly not expected to result in a decreasing population on the prairie.
Very good. Thank you for that. So with that, Commission, do we have any additional comments at this time? We don't need to take action on this. Finalization will be next month unless there are any changes that the Commission would like to make today. Very good. Seeing none, we appreciate the information. Thank you for that. All right. And